Morning.
Morning.
Do you want to complain about the cool weather this morning?
No.
Oh, well, good, because later in the week it's going to be like 88, and then we can complain about it's too hot. Do you feel a particular connection with the Feast of the Ascension?
Yes.
Well, good. That's good. It seems very real on the one hand, but rather abstract on another, doesn't it? I think it's a little more abstract, at least in my mind, you know, let's say from the Transfiguration. I find the Transfiguration of the Lord on Mount Sinai there, Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, much more tangible, that Jesus was revealed in his glory in anticipation of his dying on the cross, and so that Peter, James, and John, representing all the apostles, could have the courage to tolerate and make their way through the trauma of the Lord's death. The imagery here, you have to know, and I know you understand, words and images in many ways is all we have when we come to these quite mystical things. So we say Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father who sits upon his throne. Well, there's no throne in the sense that we're going to have a big, beautiful chair. The throne certainly simply represents the Godhead of the Father and the return of the Son, whose work of redemption is now complete. But to try to put some of these pieces together, particularly from the second reading in the Gospel, I'll call to mind for you the sequence that we use in preparation for the Holy Holy. And you say, well, what does that have to do with the Feast of the Ascension? Well, let's try it and see. The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Now, you know as well as I that in the routine of things, like, okay, well, he says this, and then we say that, and then we go, holy, holy. But have we really ever stopped and thought about what those words mean? It certainly is a sequence of praise that introduces the holy, holy, which in and of itself is a very important and powerful part of Mass. And yet, in the familiarity of routine, we sometimes, or pretty regularly, simply move through our prayers in the worship of the liturgy, not really deeply appreciating what they mean. I have to say, obviously, that praise and worship is an essential part of our gathering. It's an important part of our daily prayer, personally, privately, and congregationally or publicly, that we praise and worship God. And these few lines, the sequence of, it really is a sequence of praise, and it reminds us who we are in the Lord be with you, and whose we are in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit be with you. We are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is within us. It is the Holy Spirit that inspires us to lift our hearts in the praise and the worship of our God. I think in some way you prepare for worshipfully celebrating the Mass. Oh my God, we're going to be late. You know, whew, oh my God, oh, we made it. But there's a certain preparation. That's why we have a prelude music. It's why we have lively opening songs. What do you think, Jim? Are they lively? Okay. Do you think they're lively?
Yeah.
I think they're lively too. It's not just for our musical enjoyment. We're praising and worshiping the Lord our God because God is worthy of our worship and praise. We're invited then, as the word says, to lift up our hearts. It isn't physically that our praise lifts up the Lord in the ascension, but it is our praise that unites us in participation with him in that ascension. The Feast of the Ascension, as was reflected in our opening prayer today, the ascension of Jesus is our ascension, and as the prayer said, our exaltation. I can't remember. Oh, this is years ago. I think it was a furniture store. What store was that? You have an uncle in the furniture business? Robert. Robert who? Joshua Door. That's not the same one. It was a Robert. Anyways, you have an uncle in the furniture business. Well, now you have a brother, Jesus, in the heavenly business. And isn't it always easy to go to new places when you know somebody that's already there and has prepared the welcome for you? I think that's a pretty good image of the ascension of the Lord, where he has gone, as the prayer said, we hope to follow. It's a feast of great hope. But really, I could only say by the movement of the Spirit, I was led to use this sequence of praise in anticipation of singing the Holy, Holy as a congregation. Obviously, that is a reverent praise and worshipful response that even the angels in heaven constantly sing to the Lord before the throne of the Father and the right hand of Jesus, which I kind of humorously say, that's why, you know, God's left-handed, because Jesus is always sitting on his right hand. Thank you. You understand that the Feast of the Ascension really represents the completion of the work of Jesus, the redemptive work that began at the incarnation, took on our human flesh, remaining fully divine, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus, who in his human and divine nature died on the cross. Again, it's hard to conceive that. And by that dying and rising, in that perfect act of pure self-giving love, so pure and so of the essence of love, that our sins are healed and forgiven, and the chains of death are broken. And not only did he die on that cross in pure and perfect love to heal and forgive you and I, he rose from the dead. Again, you kind of have to wrap your head around that. Don't just use physical images, but use a spiritual one, and dare I say mystical. That's not beyond you. You're baptized. You're a mystical being because you have the Spirit of the living God in you. Mystical in many ways simply means to ponder deeply. Think deeply. Now, I know, I just read this, but you kind of know, it takes a lot of courage, does it not? Not only to believe, but it takes a lot of courage to allow ourselves to fall into the hands of a God who is so purely loving. Many people still prefer the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments and all that. Those aren't going anywhere, by the way. They haven't become 10 suggestions. But that we prefer the edges and corners of religion, because then I have some control. I did this, I did that, I didn't do that. I'm okay before God. That's easy enough, isn't it? Well, not always. But it's much harder where our redemption is God's absolute, unrequited gift. Now, maybe particularly as Americans, we don't necessarily like that. Well, I don't like to be beholden to anybody. You shouldn't have. Well, yes, thank you. You should have, because we can't do it by ourselves, right? So that's out of which our worshipful praise comes. Any love you feel for yourself or others, it has its origin, its source in God. And that's why our worshipful and reverent praise is so important. So that today we recognize and acknowledge the completion of the redemptive work of Jesus, but it's not an ending, but a new beginning. And now the work of Jesus, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is why you got sprinkled today. Tomorrow, next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday at Pentecost, and all summer you're going to have to clean your own glasses. I'll sprinkle you again one more time next week in the reception of the Holy Spirit. Start praying for that. So you're receiving the Spirit of Jesus, so that in some way your life, the manner of your life, the way you live, whether you're married or unmarried, whether you're young or more mature in years, that you're called, each of us in our own manner of life, to be witnesses to the presence of Christ in the world. So that new beginning then is only by the grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, with death now defeated It is in the Spirit that we ourselves find ourselves in the hope and the possibility, the promise that we too with Christ will share the grace of eternal life. I think the second reading is an important part of that today. On the one hand, the ascension challenges us now to be looking forward to the second coming. Do you think that's going to come before the end of your life? I don't think so. But you never know. Maybe another way to think about the second coming is, your death. The Lord first came to you in the waters of baptism. That maybe, in a way, I know the second coming is the culmination of that final end when Jesus comes on the clouds, as St. Paul tells us. But in a way, the second coming is not only a second conversion, which happens through the course of our lives, but when we die, and as we anticipate our death, we come to our final days, and we prepare to have our come-to-Jesus meeting. And then we're so stunned by seeing the glory of God in Christ, now risen and ascended. But notice more immediately, here and now, we gather in the sanctuary of the Lord, as that reading said. As the high priest enters each year in the sanctuary, referring to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, not with his own blood, with bulls and goats and lambs, now we enter. This is not my sanctuary. It's not my altar. It's not yours. This is the sanctuary of the Lord. This is the altar of the Lord. It's holy. That's why we bow before the altar. Are you still happy the tabernacle is here? Do you forget it's there? Do you forget to bow and show some act of reverence? Or I know many of you can't, I don't genuflect, it'd take me 5 minutes to get up, but at least there's a bow. There's some kind of acknowledgement that we're literally in the presence of the Lord. It's God's sanctuary from which God flows forth from us, simple bread and wine, having become through consecration the body and the blood of Jesus that we're invited to consume. Now I know you know the phrase, we become what we eat. You've heard that a lot. But think about it. We become what we receive, that which is given to us in the person and the life of Jesus. Again, with our reverent and worshipful praise that the Lord has not left us, but has promised, I will remain with you until the end of the age. But then he tells the disciples in the gospel, but wait. Wait for the power from on high. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So stay in Jerusalem, and they're in the temple, and they're praying, and they're following the Jewish code and the law. And yet when the Spirit moves them, they are transformed, and they go forth no longer with fear and trembling, and they preach the gospel. How do you do that in your life? First of all, again, it's obvious. First of all, to be a good witness of Christ, you have to really claim Christ in your life. I say it a lot. I think it's a very important thing to say, and I know it's hard, and it takes courage. Let God love you without any measure. Well, I feel pretty good today, and I just went to confession 4 years ago, so I'm still in pretty good shape. When was the last time you went to confession? But that the Lord is ready to receive us at all times. Not because we're worthy, but because he desires. So that we prepare ourselves, we allow God to love us in the best and the worst of what we are. That's the beauty and the gift of our redemption. So that as we prepare now for the Feast of Pentecost next Sunday, we approach the altar, again, from the second reading, with confidence, in the entrance into the sanctuary, and we do that by our approaching the altar to receive communion, so that we approach with sincere heart, absolute trust, presumption of faith, that you're believing it's really Jesus, and that you sincerely want to receive Jesus into your life. And as I've said before, it's a communion. You're not just receiving Jesus. Jesus is receiving you. That prefix, C-O-M, communion, means with union. We receive Jesus. Jesus receives us. So that we approach with sincerity and absolute trust and unwavering hope through our confession of faith that the promise of God is trustworthy. That's kind of a mouthful. That's why we praise. That's why we offer worship and we come with great reverence. Holding to the Lordship of Jesus, I know I don't have to remind you that you are already empowered by the Holy Spirit. Again, the sign and the symbol, a literal living one, you're sprinkled again with the waters to renew in a simple but powerful way the grace of that sacrament. So how do we prepare in anticipation of Pentecost? Pray to the Holy Spirit. How do you pray to the Spirit? Sometimes you just have to sit still and be quiet. Believe. Believe that you're believing. I know, it's double speak. Feel your longing and desire for the Lord. Anticipate God's will in your life as you're living your life. Married or single, widow or widowed, whatever manner of life you're in, what's your desire in anticipation to know and to do God's will? You already have the Holy Spirit. Listen. Receive the graces God is already giving you in the fullness of your redemption accomplished in the Lord. Act on those feelings. Put into action what you hear from the Lord and what you believe He teaches and that He lives within you. May God be praised by our reverence and our worship this day. May the Lord prepare our minds, our hearts, and our bodies for the grace of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. I mentioned this, kind of just remembering now. Sorry, it's not really an addendum. I used the example in the middle of a homily yesterday, but I'll just take a second really to solicit your prayer if I can. I don't know if many of you remember Archbishop Michael Burns from the Archdiocese of Detroit. He was just finishing seminary when I went there in 1989. That sounds like a long time ago. Yeah, 1989 when I went there to be the spiritual director in college. He was just in his last 2 years of the theology school and served for many years as a priest. And then, as you will recall, he was really quite young when he was named the Archbishop of, guess where? Jane, you were here yesterday. I knew you knew that. Would you like to go to Guam? I think it's down like near Australia. Well, that was a very difficult assignment, even for a young man. And while he was down, they were struggling with the sexual abuse cases and financial problems. And, you know, the diocese was a mess. And he did a lot of good work there. But medically, physically, there was the generational problem of Alzheimer's in his family. And Archbishop Michael Burns had to leave Guam because even in his 50s, he was becoming diminished. On Friday evening, I was over at St. Mary's in Royal Oak for our confirmation. Two of our young people were confirmed with 40 other youngsters from St. Mary's. And I greeted Bishop Fisher, who was the celebrant. He said, Mike Burns is really kind of this close to death. I said, well, you know, honestly, you know what I said? My natural response was, well, praise God. Because the last several times I've seen him, and it's been a while, he really was diminishing and struggling with the ravages of the Alzheimer. And after the mass, I got back to the car about 8:15 or whatever, and I had the text on my phone that he had died. I think Archbishop Burns was 68, maybe 60. I don't think he was 70. He loved the Lord. He graduated from U of M. Was a member of the early part of the Word of God community out of the Catholic chapel on the campus there at U of M. He loved the Lord. He loved the Word of God. He was a very sincere priest. So I really use that as an example of the ascension because now he's been lifted up with the Lord. He loved the Lord really all his life. I know he has one surviving brother. I'm pretty sure his father has died from Alzheimer's some years ago. I don't know about his mother. So maybe say a prayer today for Archbishop Michael Burns. His funeral will be a week from Monday, not tomorrow, a week from Monday at the cathedral. Visitation from noon, and his mass will be at 2 o'clock a week from Monday. So again, I think that's a little bit of a living example of the ascension of the Lord. Here's a servant of God, no greater than the service or the sacrament of your vocation in marriage or other sacraments. And now having given his life for the Lord, died too early as far as I'm concerned, but praise God, he has received the glory promised to him. Have hope. Nobody wants to die today, right? But the promise is when we die, not a nanosecond before God's ready for us, we're going to heaven. Praise be God for the dying and rising of Jesus and today's feast, the Ascension of the Lord.